going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
At last, my love has come along. My lonely days are over, and life is like a song.
Yes, June is the traditional start to the summer wedding season. And if you're getting married or thinking about it, you want it to go off without a hitch. But so many things can go wrong, from guests behaving badly to bad weather and more. So how do you disaster-proof the big day of matrimonial bliss? Well, joining me to talk about this are Andre Wells, owner of Events by Andre, and Dr. Kia James, licensed professional counselor. And you, the listener, lines are open. Give us a call if you have any questions, comments, or horror stories about your wedding day that you are willing to share with us in short. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. James, good to see you again.
Thanks for having me back.
And Andre, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me here.
Let's get into this. I'll start with you, Andre. What are the rules, if any, for summer weddings? Are there some basic things that you tell all of your clients?
Well, I don't think that they are rules. There's a certain protocol, right? So there's protocol and etiquette for something that's been around a long time, like a wedding. Mm-hmm. And so I like for people to be able to at least follow those rules, quote unquote.
Give me an example.
Okay, so number one, we're going to send out invitations. And I think you send out invitations when you're inviting people, you let them know by formally inviting them with an invitation, be it by mail, preferably, not by email or text.
Really? Because, you know, that's interesting you should mention that, because this is 2023. Everything is email, just about every event. But you think for weddings, for something so important, it's still snail mail.
Absolutely. This is a legacy situation, right? This is full of protocol. It's a contract between two families. It's formal, and it should be noted as such.
Mm-hmm. Do you like summer weddings? I mean, traditional or not, is that your preference for really directing and organizing these events?
Well, I definitely think in the summer, the weather is definitely on your side more than in the winter, although fall is very beautiful. And years ago, this month, June used to be the number one wedding month, but now it's October, followed by September and then June.
Really?
Yes.
Why October?
I think, you know, with climate change and everything else, you know, October seems to be very beautiful. It's not as humid as it is now. The days are still lasting a little longer. In June, it's humid, right? It's humid and hot. You really have to start your wedding at like 8 o'clock at night, mm-hmm. depending. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the things that play into it. But I like summer weddings because of the beautiful weather, and it seems like everyone is in a good spirit. And there are three big holidays that happen in the summer. Well, now four, since we've all been celebrating Juneteenth.
Ah, okay. Well, then there's that. Right. Okay.
So a lot of people like to play on those weekends, but people like having their summer weekends free, but people like doing things in summer, I feel. So summer wedding is always welcomed.
Dr. James, when did you get married? What month?
July.
It was July.
Yes.
Oh, how patriotic. Did your wedding go off without a hitch?
There was a lot of things behind the scenes that were going on that were kind of like drama filled, even though I'm not a dramatic kind of person.
You.
Like, I'm not into all that. But, you know, I think that it's hard to have a wedding that is just like super smooth and super calm when you have so many moving parts, if you're not just doing like something like the justice of the peace or something like that. So absolutely, lots of things happen.
Can you share some of your matrimonial drama that happened on that day?
So the biggest thing that happened, I would say, is, you know, somebody arriving thinking that they're going to stand up and object. Like,
what?
So that's probably the biggest thing.
Wow.
But that was managed behind the scenes before.
Ooh, I thought you were going to say the photographer was late. That's some tea right there. Wow. That's some caffeinated tea right there.
Absolutely.
How did you handle that?
Well, thank goodness I didn't have to handle it because other people handled it behind the scenes and I didn't necessarily even know anything until after the fact. So it went out to be a wonderful day, which was why I think it's important to have, like, number one, people who are close to you and know exactly what your vision is and they're in line with your vision. And also, like, a wedding planner, even because my wedding was cheap because we tried to make it as cheap as possible. We were not trying to, you know, we're not those people that spent $20,000 and things like that. But we still had a wedding planner who was behind the scenes making sure everything was going on without a hitch. So,
Andre, can you top that?
I can't top that.
Wait a minute. I mean, you've done a lot of weddings.
Yeah,
but
no.
Can you top that?
No. I mean, thank God we haven't had that situation. We've had some situations. One time we were at a wedding reception and the wedding was over and the best man's was there with his girlfriend and his wife showed up and she came in the wedding reception right before the first dance and a fight happened.
Ooh.
At it was the Mandarin Oriental Hotel.
Oh.
And it was, oh my gosh, I couldn't believe it that this happened. And it was a whole big debacle and we tried to kind of hide it and got the DJ to pump up the music and escorted him out. But it was, I still don't think it tops that.
Maybe he could have just played the theme from Rocky. I don't know. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about how to disaster-proof your wedding. How do you make sure that even when things go wrong, that they still work out right? Give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. So, Andre, talk to me about contingency plans when you are talking to couples who are planning a wedding. Is that a conversation that you have with them?
Oh, absolutely. You know, because just it's life, right? Nothing is perfect. Something is going to go wrong. So the contingency plan is always to have a backup of whatever you do. Make sure there is a backup. So as we're talking summer weddings and being outside, and so if it's raining like it is today, what do you do?
Yeah, what
so,
do you do?
You know what? There's usually always a building or a space wherever you are, and that's where you're going to go if it rains. And we usually prolong that decision all the way up until about 2 hours or so before the wedding because it takes time to react to that because then you have to set up chairs somewhere else and flowers, and you have to do a whole, you know, plan B. So we always talk about it. No one wants to talk about it, but it's a real conversation that you have to have because I don't want to be in that situation. It's raining, bride just got her hair done, veil wet, no one wants to be in that situation. So there's always a contingency plan if you're a good host or you have a planner working with you. You got to make sure of that. And then you got to think about things like, if it rains, are we going to be able to go back outside or are we going to have to stay in here? Is it air conditioning? Is it going to be humid? Is it going to be puddles? Are people going to be mad because they're out here in dress shoes and getting them messed up and open-toe sandals? So you have to think about all of those things, you know, when you're talking wedding.
I didn't think about that because a lot of times when you see wedding pictures, for example, if you see them online and the weather cooperates, you don't see the plan B in the photograph. And so here's an industry question. Is planning for Plan B in the price of the event, or do you have another price for Plan A only, or is it Plan A and Plan B?
That's a great question. No, it's in the planning of the actual event. Mm-hmm. So it's a backup plan, but you're able to shift if you have to. So the Plan B is in the actual budget for the wedding. And that's what we all have to start with, a wedding budget, so that mm-hmm. Plan B is included, right? So that's a big deal, and that's a great question, because if you're listening and you're paying for a Plan B, I mean, I would rethink that, because mm-hmm. you should always be offered that option.
I see.
You know, it's different if you're having your wedding at your parents' home and it's 100 people, and you can't fit 100 people on the inside, then that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to have that Plan B.
I would imagine that you would have a tent in that situation.
You would, but you'd be surprised how sometimes people don't want a tent, because it's so pretty out here and the beautiful trees, and I can see my parents' house in the backdrop and et cetera, et cetera. But I'm like, got to have a tent. And you can't put up a tent the day of. That needs to be in progress prior. If your wedding is on a Saturday, that tent has to be confirmed by that Tuesday so they can put it up on Wednesday. You can't wait to the last minute like that.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about disaster-proofing your wedding. What you need to know, what you need to do. Let me go to Amanda calling from Maryland. Amanda, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I just have a question for Andre Wells, I guess.
Sure.
I got married about 10 years ago and never received my wedding photos.
Wow.
At the time. So what would be a suggestion for a bride, or there may be other brides in my situation? How to recreate those memories, or how to recreate those photos?
Oh, Amanda, I'm sorry you never got your wedding picture. I know sometimes that happens. You'd be surprised at how often it happens, because people are on to the next thing. First of all, do you remember the photographer? Are they still in business? Are they still around?
Yes and yes.
Have you tried to reach out to them?
Yes.
And they aren't bulging on the pictures, or they don't know where the pictures are?
They don't know where they are.
Wow.
That's really bad, too, because I think 10 years ago we weren't as in digital as we are now. I think we were still with CD, disc, and stuff.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, 10 years ago it was 2013.
I think
that's just trifling.
Yeah. And you paid really for them? You paid for them and everything?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm sure you wrote notes. And did you ever think about going to court to try to get your pictures? Did he or she mess up the photos?
I don't know. I don't know what the status of them are. I know that the photographer moved quite a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And in their moving process, they were probably lost in transition.
Wow. Unfortunately, I don't have an answer. I mean, because that's what I was going to say. Make sure you... to like Google them. Did you have a videographer?
No, didn't have a videographer.
Oh, gosh. I wonder if you can reach out to some of the guests that were at your wedding to see what pictures and stuff they have. I hate that you don't have your photos.
I've done that.
Yeah?
I have some of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, but anniversary, when your anniversary comes around, you're like, what can I do to maybe recreate these or another something?
Do you still have your wedding dress? And everything?
I do.
Well, that's a good thing. You should maybe recreate the moment. Take have a photo shoot. Hire a new photographer.
Yeah. Okay. That may be the only thing. In 10 years, that's a long time, unfortunately. Well, gosh, Amanda, I'm sorry to hear that. Certainly good luck, and thank you for sharing with us. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about disaster-proofing your wedding. Some do's, some don'ts. Also, wedding etiquette? Do you have to have a class? We're going to take a break, but we'll be back in just a bit. Don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com. And don't forget, you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. This discussion continues in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher, and we are talking about how to disaster-proof your wedding. My guests are Andre Wells, owner of Events by Andre Wells, and Dr. Kia James, licensed professional counselor. Lines are open if you have a comment or question at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Okay, Dr. James, I'm sure you've seen that viral video about the young married couple where they've said their vows, said, as my mother would say, I do, we did, we does. And then he's walking down the aisle and he appears to be texting someone while she is grinning with all 32 of her teeth and she's happy as a clam, but he is texting someone. What in the world?
Yeah, I have a problem with that because of the fact that, you know, when I talk to people, we talk about setting the wedding up for the marriage. So if he has already prioritized other things and other people in a moment that we have paid to have for ourselves, then that also is, you know, questionable. Now, you know, even if, you know, we say maybe something happened to his mother and he had to be in contact with her or whatever else, there's ways to do that without disrupting the wedding flow, unless they had a whole conversation about it and agreed that that's something that they were going to do. But in the video that I saw, it didn't seem like that, you know, she was doing the same thing. So that was a him thing. So, yeah, I definitely prioritizing your, you know, marriage and your partner in that moment and not allowing other people and other things to come into your relationship at the onset.
And I've done some digging. There's no context for that video. And as you said, this is obviously African wedding. It did mom not be able to make it? If it's here, okay, you know, I get it. But without the context, it is at least distracting, but really kind of rude. And Andre, if you had seen something like that happening in real time, aside from restraining yourself from jumping and snatching the phone, I mean, aren't there certain protocols such as no phones? I mean, I know it's 2023.
Yeah, absolutely. And call me old school, but I just don't feel like a bride and or groom should have a mobile phone at their wedding. For what? Everyone that you are or want is already here in this room, supposedly. So who are you texting? What's that important? You have hired professionals to get all of that stuff out. A photographer, a videographer, you got your groomsmen or bridesmaids. So I thought that, like Dr. James said, he was totally not present. And I feel like that really took away from their moment. And of course, it went viral. So I just feel like, and I check my grooms before they go down, making sure they're neat, their flowers in place, nothing's in their pocket, no bulging out. And the bride definitely is not going down with a cell phone because she can't even carry that with whoever's escorting her and her bouquet. So I had a real big problem with that. I just thought that was rude and insensitive, just out of place. And he's going to look back at his wedding album 10 years from now. I'm sure even if it doesn't make it to the wedding album, wherever, on the gram or it's bad. That was bad.
Right, their anniversary. That's what they're going to be talking about.
Yeah, exactly. On their 10th anniversary. Exactly. Yeah. If they make it that far. Now, prior to the wedding, and you talked about sending out invitations, why is it that, and how should the bride and groom react if their guests do not RSVP. If they've been invited and you say the wedding is going to be on August 1st, we need you to RSVP by July 1st, and they don't, should you remove them from the guest list?
I mean, it's paid. Like, a lot of stuff is paid. I've seen people say, okay, and I feel like this conversation came up the other day. Okay, you can actually come to the wedding, but we don't have any food for you at the reception. So, you know, too bad, so sad. You needed to RSVP.
But what's wrong with those of us that just refuse RSVPs?
I mean, lazy.
I don't understand it, particularly if you're talking about a couple that you really love, mm-hmm. people that, and certainly whether you're family or close friends, I would venture to say that an invitation to a wedding is a privilege.
For sure.
It certainly is a privilege. So please RSVP. But if you don't, if you don't RSVP, should you expect to be dropped or excluded?
I think that some people feel entitled. Like, you know, you knew that I was going to be coming. Like, we're so close. Like, why would I even have to RSVP? Like, I can hear that from someone, you know, feeling like they should. Because I've one of my friends who had a wedding, she actually called people and say, I need you to RSVP. Yes. Because it's a whole thing that people think that, you know, it's not a big deal, or that you already know that they're going to come because you had a conversation with them. And, you know, life can be busy. People get distracted and they don't follow up and do the things that they're supposed to do. So I think there's a lot of factors at play. But at the end of the day, you know, if we're paying for plates and you didn't RSVP, then, you know, you might not be able to come. And that's, you know, of course, I can see the fallout from that, you know, relationship-wise on the back end. But the reality is you have to be considerate of people.
Absolutely. And I think that that's the whole protocol that we talk about, right? So it's rude. If someone invites you to something, you should have the courtesy to be able to RSVP. And I know sometimes, especially with wedding invitations and such, you send them out so early and you're, you know, it's the summer, we're traveling, we're hanging out. Maybe you forget. But also, I think it's also on the bride and groom or the family or whoever is planning it to make sure, because you're planning to follow up with people who don't RSVP, so there are no surprises, because it's really embarrassing. And it's happened, you know, before to us a lot when people show up. And then, of course, we have to be the bad guys. And I notice it with really people who have really large families, people who are very popular, and you have a lot of looker bees and people who aren't really invited who come. But you have to remember it's important to RSVP because it helps the couple or whomever plan. They have to pay. They have to have a whole amount of seats because, if you know, sometimes you have to bring in everything, tables, chairs, all of the dishes, etc. So if, you know, five extra people show up, you're in a scramble trying to make sure that that works. And it's uncomfortable, and especially when people plan these weddings for months in advance.
Yeah. Let me go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Shanita calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Shanita. What's on your mind?
Okay. So thank you all for coming up with this topic, and I wish you all had it back in November.
Go ahead. And
I got married in November, but it was a destination marriage wedding.
Mm.
And we landed there days early, so we thought we would get a chance to get everything in place with the hotel. Well, in the midst of us two being there, the rest of our group flights were canceled. So I had four people coming, and I was down to us two standing there. So I was, in the future, what for other brides, because obviously we did work it out, but what do you suggest for a destination wedding as a backup plan?
That's such a good question, Andre.
As a backup? She have a good
Shanita called with some mess today. That's what it was.
Do you have a good friend or somebody? Nobody takes I don't know. I'm gonna let Kia take a stab at that.
So, was there a reason?
The hurricane came through.
Oh, the hurricane, the weather. Yeah, they canceled the flights. Pray.
It was like everyone was supposed to arrive on Thursday, and the wedding wasn't till Saturday. And I was thankful enough that I did have them come a couple of days earlier. But of course, we had events planned, but that was the only way majority of them end up making it. I mean, like my officiant, he didn't make it. Literally, I'm getting ready to walk down the aisle, and he's running to get to the front, like that close.
Wow, that sounds like a rom-com. And
for the bride, the whole time, I was running down to trying to get emergency rides for every, like I just didn't get a chance to even enjoy the moment until after the wedding.
Can you do a redo? You need a redo.
Well, let me ask you this, Shanita. Where was this destination wedding?
I got married in Jamaica in the grill.
Okay.
So not only was we picking the grill because Montego Bay, the hotel we picked, they wouldn't accept children. So the grill is an hour ride. So we're not talking about they can jump off the plane and get to you in 20 minutes. It's like you had to get a ride from the airport all the way to the destination.
I'm surprised the hotel didn't have accommodations because hurricanes are like, you know, you see them coming. Like,
well, so here's the thing. Hurricane season in the Caribbean does not officially end until November
30th. Exactly.
And, you know, whether you are having a destination wedding or going on vacation, you're taking your chances doing anything in the Caribbean, other than, and I have family that lives in Nassau, and hurricanes are just a way of life. But I will tell you, just in covering the news, the first official hurricane of the season popped up, west of the African coast just last week. Hurricane season is June 1st to November 30th, and this one was pretty late, but they still happen right on time. I think that's the only thing.
And the hotel had a plan. They had, like, if it rained or something happened, they had a, like you said, they stuff you in this room and that's it. They tell you, we're not bringing the flowers or anything. If it rains, you're going to come in here, you're going to get married, and we're going to move on with the day. So that's already devastating. So after I was on pins and needles, people arriving, I was also on pins and needles because it started raining that morning. Like, I got my makeup done, and I walked into the room to get dressed, and it started raining. So, like, it was very stressful.
Yeah, and again, it whether hurricane season, whether it's in Jamaica or in New Orleans, because all of that is the same. And if anyone has ever been to New Orleans in July, for example, it is humid, it is hot, and you will have a Noah's Ark downpour for 42 minutes in the middle of the day.
Yep.
And then it stops. But it may happen every single day.
Absolutely.
And every single day it rained. Like, every day it rained. And the girl, she was on pins and needles the day before. I'm watching her. And literally, it rained just in time for her to get married and started raining, like, a little bit after. Like,
yeah. But I guess plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, plan. And also, I hate to say it, but that's kind of the chances that people take when they choose these different destinations. And we think it won't happen to us, but sometimes it will. So,
and then paying attention, I think, to even hurricane season, because hurricanes, you know, even with hurricane season, early in the season, it's usually not bad. It's not as bad. But when you start talking about September and all, like, the hurricanes get worse because it's been hot and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's important to be mindful for, because the event, the place is not going to tell you all that, because they want your money anyway.
Something,
you know,
to think about. Yeah.
So it's almost like you have to be, really thinking about all of the possible things that could go wrong that are, like, you know, natural disasters and things like that in advance, and what the plan is going to be just in case.
That was one of them I did not think of, so
that's why I was like, oh yeah, they need to say that, like, be careful. You know her, I got married on November 12th, like, be careful to know it's to November 30th that you may have a hurricane that knocks out all your gas.
That's right. Shanita, thank you so much for sharing. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You mentioned earlier, Andre, about the fight at the reception. But what about during the wedding? What was the most difficult situation that you had to encounter as an event planner for the actual ceremony?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? Thank God, it'll be 20 years in a couple of weeks that I've had the company, and we haven't really had, to be honest, that many disasters, which I'm grateful for. I think one of the things that strikes me, and that's why I always say you have to be careful when you ask a friend to do something for you. A friend was supposed to do flowers for one of our brides. And this was kind of early on in my career, so you learn as you grow. And I said to her, are you sure? She was like, yes. Well, 30 minutes. And I start weddings on time because I think it's inconsiderate of people's time. This woman had not shown up with the flowers. So I said, you know what? We got to go. We just got to go with this. We can't. And so we ended up, the church had some flowers around. We were able to just like make a little bouquet. I remember grabbing the handkerchief from my pocket.
God, I hope it wasn't a funeral spray.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you wouldn't have been able to tell if it was, right? And anyway, we did that. The bridesmaids didn't have flowers. The bride had flowers, and the friend showed up with the flowers, like, as they were coming out. But again, that's the risk you take. That's why you have to hire paid professionals to be able to help you. Or if it's your friend, get a contract, make sure it is their professional, because that really ruined her ceremony. Yeah, you know?
I would imagine. So I think one of the most difficult things that I observed was attending a wedding. And you talked about starting the wedding on time. The bride was about 90 minutes late because the wedding dress did not fit. So why?
But how do you get to that point?
Oh, that's my question. how do you get to the point where the wedding, how does that happen?
If you gain weight,
that's part of it.
At the last minute, because if you really think about it, the people have to be mindful of their size when they do the fitting, because that's usually way in advance before the actual wedding. So you need to be on maintaining your weight and paying attention to all of that. And I think that sometimes people don't necessarily do that, and then you need a seamstress. But they really should have been, I mean, because, you know, even the week before, you should have been able to like make some alterations or something like that.
So if there's like a pre-wedding fitting. So if it doesn't fit.
I'm sorry. I'm blaming the bride.
You blame the bride.
Yeah.
So what happens? I mean, do you have to, is the plan B to run to the bride surplus store?
I think the plan B should have been the plan.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I'm blaming the bride for that. That's just poor planning. That's no plan B. Either we're going to find a pashmina in the crowd or somewhere, or your bridesmaids, that's what they're for, to be able to help you.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll have to figure it out.
They'll find a seamstress, yeah, like at the last minute, but that shouldn't be the morning of, like, right, you know.
Well, that's what happened. There were some alterations that were being made, I'm assuming, at the church. And, you know, maybe, I don't know, in the confessional or whatever it was. But I kid you not. But, I think with that said, and the biggest concern was, when she, came out, that, again, it was, like a corset from Bridgerton or something like that, where you just, is she going to get through this? Can she breathe? and I think it's funny, but like you said, It's disrespectful to the guests.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it And while it may make for a memorable wedding, you certainly, that's not the kind of memory that you want to have.
Right. I hope the groom knew that, you know, that's what they were waiting on, because to be waiting on a bride
I'm sure he knew. I'm absolutely sure that he knew. Okay. Cash bar or open bar? And why or why not?
I think it depends on your pockets, for real. I mean, I've seen both. I think both work. As far as, like, if you're talking about, like, if the
I mean, is it politically correct? I mean, you said it depends on your pocket, but might it also depend on your cousins that you've invited to the wedding?
Well, I think that, you know, you need to be mindful of all of that, who you're inviting, what type of wedding you want to have. All of that needs to go into the pre-planning. Because if you're having close people and you know that you have a family full of alcoholics, you might not want to have a bar at all. This is your day, and you want to make sure that everything goes according to plan. So if you're going to have people doing all kinds of crazy stuff and that's going to escalate and take away from the day and have people fighting and carrying on, like, then there shouldn't be anything.
What do you recommend, Andre?
Definitely open bar. If you're going to do, definitely not a cash bar. Either open bar or no bar. Because you are inviting people to celebrate you. You're inviting them to your wedding. They didn't, you know, hopefully ask to come. You invited them. So you have to decide, as Dr. Key said, am I able to afford this? Is this something that we budgeted for? If not, it's fine. You don't have to serve alcohol for a number of reasons, but it's just like if I invited you all over to my house, I'm not going to charge you for your meal and your beverages. These are people that you're hosting. So it's understandable to host an open bar for a wedding for 200 people. That can be expensive to some people. So you have to decide, but definitely, no. I even hate tip jars out at the wedding reception for the bartenders. It's like, the family will give you a tip, or we'll tip you in the end. I mean, it's not like we're at a club. This is a wedding reception that people are hosting. They've invited them here to celebrate and have fun. And so definitely, I always tell people, and you don't have to do it. There's so many different things and items that you can serve, and punches and, you know, juices that you can serve. You do not have to do it open bar if that's not part of your mantra and you can't afford that. So
now here's one, and this goes back to the etiquette piece. Themed wedding or not, what should be the proper attire and how should that be addressed? And I know this to be a no-no, and we always, and I'm not jumping all over, you know, the women, even though you've already blamed the bride for things. James. But I know this is a big one. Do not outdress the bride. And don't wear white. Is that right?
Well, I can't.
I'm gonna go back to it. Really, to me, it depends on whose wedding you go to. There's certain brides that I know that I've gone to their wedding. You're not gonna outdo them, period, and that's the end of the thing.
Right. So go ahead, Beyonce.
So I think you need to be mindful of who you're inviting. And to me, if there's a certain theme, then that should be put in the invitation so people know exactly what to wear and what's going to be expected. I mean, you shouldn't show up to somebody else's wedding naked. Like, that would be, like, disrespectful. But, you know, as far as having something on that's really nice, I mean, that is what it is. If that's your style and you know that that's not going to offend the person that you are attending their wedding. And that goes back to building relationships and making sure that, you know who you're inviting.
Your thoughts, Andre?
Well, I think, you know, just like everything else, it's planning. And I think that people need direction. So if there is a certain way that you want people to dress, if it's black tie optional, if it's, you know, blazers and sundresses, or however you want to direct them, because you want your event to look in a certain way, you want people to feel comfortable, you don't want to see certain things, I think you should tell them and you should make it known of your request. So definitely I like the direction. It seems like people like the direction when you tell them black tie or semi-formal or, you know, coat and tie. stuff like that. People like that. Ladies' long gowns, or, you know, as of now, people have started including like style guides with. They have. You know, with photos showing you like, okay, this is the type of, you know, what we think is beach casual or summer chic or, you know, whatever you desire. So.
And you probably, and I guess in some cases, you may only send the style guide to Ray Ray and Peanut because you know that they aren't going to know how to act.
Correct.
You know, but everybody else is cool. Because, and let's, and we all have a Ray Ray and a Peanut.
Yes, we do.
In our families. And so I, and I think that, again, when you talk about planning and wanting things to go off without a hitch, do you have to sometimes have a come to Jesus conversation with some members of the family?
Absolutely.
I mean, for example, you say no children, and some people get upset about that.
Yes, and we're not paying for your children, so you know. I think you do have to have a conversation with the people who show up with their children anyway after you, like, you should know who those people are and be like, look, I know that you don't usually have a babysitter, but, you know, make sure you have a babysitter because you can't bring, there are no children. Like, my children aren't even coming, or, you know, my children are the only children that are going to be there. So please make sure that you take care of that because we're not going to be able to accommodate it. So I would have a specific conversation with those people.
Because it just seems to me that in wedding after wedding that we may see on social media, and there are even columns, etiquette columns that are written, for example, in the Washington Post, where this is such a frequent question, why is it that some people just don't seem to be able to follow those rules, whether it's children or dress or...
Mindset, like rules, some people don't think the rules ever apply to them. And that's the way that they move through life. So if you know that this person does whatever they want to do, they drive on the grass when they ain't supposed to be driving on the grass, they do all of these things, then you need to have a conversation with them. Look, I know that you do X, Y, and Z. Don't do that at my wedding. Like, it needs to be a real conversation so that they understand, like, I'm not playing with you.
Right, and I think people don't have children for certain reasons. It's, you know, may not be because they don't want to pay for them, but they may just not want that. It's an adult environment for different reasons, and they want you to be able to watch. So I think people don't pay attention to context clues. I always say that, right? And you have to have those conversations. You really do.
Final question for you, Andre. As an event professional, how do you handle bridezillas? And is there a point during the event planner bride relationship where you throw your hands up, or do you, or do you have a chill pill that you take from the minute that you meet them until the wedding day?
Yeah, I'm a chill guy. I like to think I'm very laid back. That's my personality. So I'm not going to deal with a bridezilla. So if you don't, if you're not going to be friendly and, you know, not follow our rules, but treat me and my staff and my team like we should be treated. I don't want to work with you. I don't want to work with that type of person.
But it's my wedding. Okay. It's my special day.
No. And again, I'm very thankful and grateful. We haven't had those kind of personalities and that kind of, because I wouldn't be able to do it. Of course, I think when you work with people for over months, sometimes you realize, you know what, this may not be a good fit. We're not working well together. So I think you deal with that situation. You have the talk. You see if you can work it out. If not, it just may not work out. But I refuse to be in a situation where I work with a bridezilla because I just think it's unnecessary and silly to do that. Yeah. I do. I'm sorry.
And certainly with, you know, with Dr. James, if I can speak for you, you are always more concerned with the marriage instead of the wedding.
Absolutely. And that's going to be the focus. So, and if you're a bridezilla, meaning that you can't manage your emotions in this situation where crisis has come up, then we need to actually be talking about that. Because how are you going to manage situations? Because they will come up when you're married. How are you going to manage those situations and have reasonable conversations with your soon-to-be partner?
Well, I'm sure that there will be plenty of stories to be told this summer as our listeners who decide to get married or think about it begin to plan. Andre Wells, Dr. Kia James, thank you both for talking to us. And, you know, Dr. James, I'm so glad your wedding did work out. You didn't have to talk to anybody. There it is. Thank you both so much. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday. For this Friday, the 23rd of June.
My lonely
for news director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins Wilson, and engineer Bobby Adams,
and Aaron Waller.
I'm Harold Fisher. Good night, and have a wonderful weekend.